In the year 1701, Thomas Pitt, or Diamond Pitt as he was called, was governor of the city of Madras in India. He was an interesting personality, a soldier of fortune who had set up business in opposition to the powerful East India Company. At length, that same company, realizing the brilliance of Pitt, took him into the firm, where he became a powerful factor. One day, as usual, he was seated in his office, busily at work.
Bradford.
Yes, Mr. Pitt.
What was that you said about some Hindu wanting to see me?
A native by the name of Balkeva, sir.
Balkeva? Who's in charge of a native unit at Golconda Mine?
Yes, I believe he is connected in some way.
Well, why didn't you tell me?
It slipped my mind, Mr. Pitt. I'm sorry.
Well, you should be. Tell this Balkeva to come in immediately.
Very good, Mr. Pitt.
Balkeva? I wonder...
Come in.
Thank you. Come in,
Balkeva. Governor Pitt, Sahib is well?
Quite well, Balkeva.
I bring something to the Sahib. I hear from the men in Golconda that Governor Sahib likes the diamond.
Oh.
I think perhaps the Governor Sahib might like what I have here.
Yes, yes. Well, let me see it.
Here it is, Sahib.
Good heaven, why is it bigger than... You know much about diamonds, Akiva?
It is not a diamond, then?
Not a diamond? Why, it's the most wonderful one I've ever... where did you get it?
I found it, Sahib.
You found it?
Yes. I found it lying by the path.
You did well to bring it here, Bagheera.
I was afraid to let anyone else see it, Sahib. I do not want to be killed.
Of course, the diamond is not cut, and there might be flaws, you know.
Then the Sahib will not buy it?
Oh, I didn't say that. Well, what do you ask for it?
The Sahib will tell me what he will pay.
Let me see. I'll pay you... what do you say to 1,000 pounds?
1,000 pounds? I will sell it to the Sahib for 1,000 pounds.
Good. Bradford, my secretary will give you the money.
You will buy it now, Sahib?
Yes, but only on one condition. That you say nothing about it to anyone. Nothing.
You called me, Mr. Pitt?
Yes. Take Barkeeper with you, Bradford. Pay him 1,000 pounds of my own money.
1,000 pounds,
you should. Do as I ask you.
Yes, sir.
Now, this is a bargain, Barkeeper, what I said. It will not be necessary for you to return to Golconda. You understand?
Yes. May prosperity come to you, Sahib.
You never fear that. Bradford, see the Barkeeper is well treated.
Yes, sir.
Goodbye, Barkeeper.
Farewell, Governor Sahib.
Now, let me weigh it. More than 200. 300.
I can't be.
Surely it's not. Yes, that's balanced. 410 carats. Why, this stone is worth a king's ransom. And it's mine. Mine! I can buy the world with this. And it only cost me 1,000 pounds.
much, Mr. Pitt.
Well, thank you, Lady Heathcote.
Oh, I've watched your career with so much interest. Isn't India the most glamorous place?
Well, frankly, Lady Heathcote, I found it very hot and muggy. The fogs of England are more to my liking.
Oh. Oh, but tell me, did you really wait 16 years before selling the diamond?
Eh? Well, that is a subject I would rather not discuss.
Oh, there you are, Tom. I was wondering if you'd forgotten our dance. Oh, good evening, Lady Heathcote.
Well, good evening, Mrs. Trent.
Oh, by no means, Marion. Excuse me, Lady Heathcote, won't you?
Oh, certainly. Certainly.
Come, Marion. Well, it's hot in here. Ah, it's a beautiful night. Come, let's go out on the balcony. You can watch the people in the garden.
Yes, it is beautiful. I suppose you feel that this is your triumph, Tom, this wonderful estate, all these people begging for your favor?
Yes, it is my triumph, Marion. You may not have heard that I finally sold the diamond for £135,000.
Yes, I heard of it. Who has not? I heard you sold it to France.
Yes, the Duke of Orleans bought it for Louis. I understand they'll call it the Regent Diamond.
Then it was a good investment, after all.
Oh, you don't seem very pleased about it, Marion.
Why, yes, I am, Tom. It's a great night for the Thomas Pitt I used to know.
Oh, come, don't say used to know, Marion. You know me now.
Yes, but it's all so different. You're a great man now. You have married into one of England's greatest houses. The court of France knows you, but I'm only Marion Trent, a poor man's wife. It is a bit different, you must admit.
Marion, you know why we're out on this balcony alone? I want to talk to you. I am an old friend. Let me help you and your husband.
Why, Tom, how did you know that we need...
Let me help you, please. I can do it easily.
I don't know what you're talking about, Tom.
Yes, you do, Marion. I'm talking about those Indian bonds of your husband. I often know that he's facing bankruptcy, and I know that would mean bitter poverty and disgrace for you.
All of that.
Let me give you the money, Marion.
Why do you wish to help me? We've been strangers to each other for 10 years.
Oh, Marion, why did I let you go?
Oh, please. Remember, you are married to someone else, and so am I.
Yes, I threw my happiness away. I gambled, and I lost.
I don't see why you are unhappy. Your diamond has brought you a tremendous fortune. You have a devoted wife whose father gave her a huge dowry. Since you returned from India 16 years ago, you've had everything you wanted.
I have everything I want, except... the one thing I want the most.
Please, Tom.
You know as well as I, Marion, that I love you. From the first day I saw you 10 years ago, you were the woman for me. Oh, come, say yes to me. I'll do anything for you.
But I'm...
I can give you anything you want in the world, and you could give me the happiness I lost. Oh, please.
Thomas Pitt, you say that to me now, when I am married to another man, when I've borne his children, when you know that I love him.
But you once loved me, Marion. You can't deny that.
Yes, I loved you. But I soon found out that the thing you loved best in the world was not me, but your diamond. Your big pebble that you treasured above all things on earth.
Marion.
Yes, Tom. That is why I gave you up. It would have had to be me or the diamond. And I knew you too well to expect you to give up the diamond.
But, Marion, I don't understand. The diamond would have been yours too.
Would it? I doubt that, Tom. You were more jealous of that huge rough stone than a man is ever of a beautiful wife. When I first met you, you were in the act of changing your lodging because you were afraid someone was planning to rob you. In the 6 months I knew you, you changed your room 7 times. You wore disguises whenever we went to the theater. Whenever we were together, I felt that you longed to be back in your rooms, guarding that great glittering mass. Is it any wonder that at last I realized we could never have any happiness together?
Marion, I...
Don't deny it. You talk to me of love now because you have nothing else left that you cannot buy. Yes, Tom. You made money and position your gods. And you serve them faithfully. You and I have nothing to say to one another.
You're being very hard on me.
Can you expect anything else?
Marion, I want your love.
I'm afraid it's too late for that now, Tom. 10 years ago, it might have been very different.
Then there's no chance for me?
No. I cannot sell my love.
I suppose I deserve this. Oh, we pay for everything we have in this world. Sometimes I think I paid too great a price. I paid for that diamond with my very soul. From the time the Hindu put it into my hand, that diamond possessed every waking moment of my life. First, I was confident I would find an immediate buyer. But as the years went by and nobody would pay the price I asked, I grew half mad with disappointment. There were times when I hated that diamond, when I would have longed to throw it into the sea and throw myself after it. Then there was a night when I... No, I can't tell you.
Please, Tom.
Well, you know me for what I am, after all. I may as well tell you. There was one night when I did throw it out of the window. Yes, I did. I was crazed with horror at what I thought might be done with it, and I rushed into the street. I crawled on my hands and knees into the mud, calling on God to help me. Last I found it, it was lying in the filthy gutter. That's what it did for me. And when at last I sold it, all the money in the world couldn't bring back my self-respect.
I pity you, Tom.
Oh, no, you mustn't say that. You've humbled me enough. Go on, Marion. Go on into the house. I want to be alone.
But, Tom, I...
Please go. I'll follow you in a moment.
Are you sure that you're...
Thank you, Marion, for showing me myself.
Goodbye, Tom.
Marion.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Pitt. I didn't know you were...
Oh, it's you, Bradford. Well, come here a moment. I want to see you.
Yes, Mr. Pitt.
You've been with me a great many years, haven't you? I can trust you.
I hope that you can, sir.
Yes, well, now, tomorrow, I want you to arrange through the East India Company to buy all the Indian bonds belonging to James Trent.
But they're worthless, Mr. Pitt.
Yes, I know, but do as I say. And listen, by the way, under no circumstances let anyone know that I am the buyer. It's merely a little private debt of honor.